Well, y'all sound wonderful today. Thank you, Larry, for leading us in those songs of worship and praise. And thank you for joining in with that and being such a part of this church. We are glad that you're here. So, I want to ask you today, do you ever think about what you think about? Do you ever think about what you think about? I mean, you should. It just makes sense, y'all, to think about what you think about. In fact, the Bible says there's some values to thinking about what we think about. Romans chapter 12 says that part of the process of becoming in Christ is this idea of our mind being transformed. The NIV says changing the way you think. So if you think about what you think about, sometimes you will think, I need to change the way I think. In fact, in Paul writing in 2 Corinthians says in chapter 10 and verse 5, that we are to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And this is one of my favorite snippets of scriptures in 2 Corinthians. And to take every thought captive. Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. What's he saying? You need to think about what you think about. In the process, you need to take those thoughts and captivate them. Put them in your mind. Think about them. Roll them over and over again in your mind. You're to take every thought in your life. And of course, the most famous verse will be Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So do you ever think about what you think about? Which means when you think about what you think about, you become what you think about. Now that's Dale's translation of Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. When you think about what you think about, you become what you think about. And it is very important for us to understand that this is essential because of our theme for this year. Our theme to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so the fact is, if you think about what you think about, if you don't think about what you think about, if you don't spend that time, that process of going through your thoughts and ordering your thoughts, you will probably end up in this culture hating yourself and not loving yourself. And if you don't love yourself, it's going to make it really difficult for you to love others. If you want to love others well, as God says we're to do, we have to love ourselves. And so if you don't think about what you think about, culture is going to tell you who you are and what you are. It's going to continually go around in your mind. You're not going to ever be skinny enough. You're never going to be tall enough. You're never going to be smart enough. You're never going to be driven enough. You're never going to be productive enough. You're never going to be enough. But if you think about what you think about, you'll begin to think about what God says about you, and that is that you are lovable. And that only on the basis of the fact that He loved us so much that He gave His Son for us, that in turn we love Him, and that love then will cause us to understand that I am not worthy by myself, but through Christ I am super worthy. I'm abundantly worthy. I am everything. I have no shortcomings. We are not short in anything, as Paul would say, because of the love of Christ. So remember, in our sermon series that we're going through this year, our goal is for us to become more loving. And to become more loving, we must love ourselves, and to love ourselves, we must guard our thinking. So do you ever think about what you think about? We said last week, and we're going to spend 2 weeks on this lesson. It's kind of a two-parter. We talked about how we started as leaders in this congregation. We started talking about, you know, what's going to be the long-term effect of COVID? What's going to be the long-term effect of isolation? What's going to be the long-term effect of 2020? What's going to come as a result of that? What are going to be the familiar results of it? What's going to be the emotional results of it? What's isolation going to do to us, and depression going to do to people, and mental illness going to do to people? What are the suicide rates going to be like? What is going to happen in our culture? And you remember last week we stated very clearly that I'm not a psychologist and I'm not a professional counselor, and I'm thankful for those in this congregation that are. I reached out to two of them specifically, to Joe and to Daniel, and I appreciate their help. And I got the outline from a guy out in California named Rick Warren. I liked his outline, so I took it and I built what we're saying around there. I did not realize when we started this, many of you probably did, that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. I didn't realize when I had two lessons that happened coincidentally, y'all know how I feel about coincidence probably, but coincidentally to fall on the month of May, that we would be in this mental health month. And so I want to say up front, and we said it last week, but some of you weren't here, and it might be that you fall in this category if you weren't here. It may be that you have loved ones that fall in this category, and I know that you know people that do. There are folks that deal with very severe mental illness. God bless those individuals. Man, I mean, the struggle they go through on a daily basis. I'm not talking about bouts of depression that probably every one of us deal with at times in our life. I'm talking about clinical mental illness. I'm talking about mental illness that's verging on where they need all sorts of help, not just through medication, but through other things. And so in anything I say today, this is the disclaimer, please hear it. In anything I say today, I'm not minimizing the hurt and the pain and the difficulty that those individuals are dealing with. I'm not saying that some kind of pop psychology should come along, just feel better about yourself. I am saying, though, for most of us, that the Word of God gives us what we need. And for most of us, what we need is more of the Word of God in our lives, because it will, more than anything else, help us to think right about ourselves. It will clarify our thinking about ourselves more than any other materials that you'll look up, more than any other mental process you'll go through. God's Word trumps Freud. God's Word trumps counselors. I'm thankful for professional counselors that are Christians. I've already mentioned the two of the ones that we have here. I'm so very thankful for them. I want you to know today, because the call I get most often that bugs me the most is when someone calls me and says, "Can you recommend a good counselor to me?" And many of you have made that phone call to me. And it's because of something you're dealing with in your marriage or with your children or with a friend or in a personal relationship. And every time I get that call, it's like, I don't want to overburden our guys, but I also know that just because a person hangs out a shingle and says they're a Christian counselor doesn't mean they're a Christian counselor. There are a lot of counselors flying their flag of Christianity that don't trust the Scriptures as the inspired Word of God as implicitly the answer to the problems of our life. So beware that just because somebody says, "Oh, I'm a Christian counselor," a whole cottage industry developed around the concept of Christian counseling, and much of it is just that in name. So don't accept what a counselor tells you just because they say, "I'm a Christian." Do some investigation. Remember, God's Word trumps that, whatever that is, whatever that piece of advice is, whatever that piece of information is, however they tell you to go. I've heard Christian counselors, are you hearing me, that have told couples, "Well, I just think y'all get a divorce. Your marriage isn't working." Listen, I don't think you ought to get a divorce. Okay, I don't think you ought to get a divorce. I think you ought to stay married. The handful of times in my life where I've told someone, "Yeah, you probably should get a divorce," are extreme cases. But I know counselors that couples are having, you know, difficulties in personality. And they say, "Well, I'm a Christian counselor." They say, "Well, you think you ought to get a divorce because you're not compatible." Listen, no man and woman are really compatible emotionally. I may need to think that sentence through some more. I mean, we all know that. If you stay married more than 6 months, you know there are going to be issues you'll deal with and challenges you'll deal with. So remember, as we talk about this today, that God's Word trumps anything I will say even. So if I say something, you say, "I don't think that's what God would say," then correct me on it, please. I want you to. So I want us to get back into this idea. We got to think about what we think about. And one of the things we think about, one of the challenges I think we have, is that sometimes we don't feel lovable. We don't feel worthy of being loved. We don't feel worthy of being cared about by God. And I understand that. But listen, God gave His Son to die on the cross so you didn't have to die on a cross. God gave His Son for your sins so that He could take not only your sin away, but listen carefully, but the guilt of that sin. And the guilt you hold on to is the guilt that you choose to hold on to. Let it go. God intended that. I think it's challenging for people in this culture to love themselves. These are challenging times. There is no doubt about it. But the truth is, there is hope. There's hope. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look through a number of cases places in the Scripture where we find hope when we deal with the difficulty we have with our thinking. Biblical truths for emotional health is what we call this. We looked at several verses last week, among them this verse in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12 from the Message that says, don't burn out, keep yourself fueled in a flame. Remember, that's a paraphrase of that verse, and I hope it'll be helpful to you, though I like the way it's urged, the way it's spoken. Last week, we urged you to do several things quickly. I'm not going to review them. I'm just going to put them on the screen for you to remind you if you weren't here last week. Those are the five. They're on the outline you gave me. Thank you very much, Braden, for doing that, the outline for us again. But these are on your outline. I hope you picked up one when you came in. If you didn't, we ran out of them. Send me an email. I'll send you one. Okay, so they're the five, okay? Let's get busy and look at the rest of them. Number six, if you want to have proper mental health, emotional mental health from a biblical standpoint, share your feelings instead of stuffing them. The fact is we all have feelings, and feelings are not necessarily right or wrong. Feelings are meant to be felt. They're not meant to be stuffed. And the great thing is the Bible oftentimes, most often, models for us the way we ought to approach everything we'll talk about today. In fact, Paul models this beautifully in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. The second line of this verse on your screen where it says that we despaired of life itself. Another translation, the New Century Version, translates this way. Brothers, we want you to know about the trouble we suffer in Asia. We had great burdens there that were beyond our own strength. And watch this last line. We even gave up hope of living. We gave up hope of living. But what did Paul do? Well, he shared that. Simply put, we ought to share our feelings. And I like the way Daniel worded this. He said, we ought to share them first with God. We ought to share them then with others that love their neighbor as themselves. We ought to share them with people that can be trustworthy. And we ought to share them with those who love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Listen very carefully today. Are you listening? Don't take advice from people who don't fit these four categories. Just because you share doesn't mean you should share with everyone. You should not share everything that goes on in your life. You should not share everything, even anything, with some people. And there's some people you should share nothing with, if that made sense at all. We ought to share with God. Talk to Him about what's going on in our life. Share with others who love their neighbor as themselves. Listen, if that person that you share stuff with is always telling you how horrible everyone is in your life, the people in your life you've committed your life to, then maybe you ought to step back and say, maybe that's not someone I should share this with. So quickly, we need to look at this. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, I'm not going to re-preach the whole series, but you remember several months ago, we looked at this concept of the one another's. And we said it was both reflective and reciprocal. So it's reflective in the sense that I'm looking in a mirror. Everyone's dealing with the same thing, but it's reciprocal in that we're not just dealing with each other, we're dealing with everyone else in the building. It's that Hawaiian Greek word that we use from Galatians chapter 6. It's not really Hawaiian Greek, but it sounds Hawaiian to me, and that's how I remember it. Alelu, the one another passages. And he says here, you're to bear one another's burdens. And I like the NIV here. It says you're to carry each other's burdens. Now, listen to this and follow me carefully here. There is a responsibility that I have to carry the burdens of other people. But there is a simultaneous responsibility that all of us have to be willing to share our burdens. James says it this way. Confess your sins, your faults, one to another, and pray. You see, in Christianity, there's this idea that the people sitting around you are family. And that this is not just a place where you come in and say, hi, how are you, and everybody smiles and goes home and everything's great and wonderful. The truth is, 99% of the time, that really is how it should be. It ought to be great and wonderful. We're together to worship the God, the King of Heaven. We love Him and we love each other. It ought to be great and wonderful. But if we never deal with the hard and difficult, the great and wonderful makes no sense in our lives. So in order for someone else to fulfill Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, in order for the person sitting beside you to fulfill Galatians 6 and verse 2, you have a responsibility. the responsibility to the one that is burdened. You realize that? I mean, when you share what's going on in your life with others, you gain perspective. When you share what's going on in your life with others, not only do you gain perspective, but you also, when you share with a person wisdom, you grow from their wisdom. We'll say more about that in a few minutes. When you share with people what's going on in your life, you become more connected. You see, we said this often, but it needs to be said again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul talks about the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our tribulation. And I love the last part of that, so that we may be able to comfort others with the comfort we've received. And so listen, if you're struggling with cancer, or you got an appointment to see a doctor that's going to give you a report, there are 100 other people in this room that have had that same anxiety you're feeling right now. And if you never share and say, listen, I've got this going on in my life, I got to talk to somebody. You can tell us, you can tell the leaders here, you can tell the ministers here, you can tell the elders here, and we'll either talk to you about it, or if you'd like, we'll direct you to someone that's dealing with it. In a congregation this size, there are few issues that could come up in your life that someone else in this congregation has not dealt with in one way or another. Most everyone here has dealt with it. So, share with each other. We become more connected because I understand, oh, he's dealing with this. Oh, she's dealing with this. You know, it looks like they're having a bad day. I imagine they are with what they're going through. We begin to care for each other and help each other and aid each other in a beautiful way, and it connects God's family in such a marvelous, powerful way. When we obey the responsibility of as the one that has a burden, number four, we open up a two-way helping tool. Because you see, not only are there people that have been through what you're going through, in all likelihood, there are people that are going through what you're going through. And so you're able to help each other through it, to climb that mountain together, so to speak. And we experience tremendous relief. Joe said that that feelings don't just go away. They don't just go away. And that's the truth. We've got to share them somewhere. We can't just turn them off. And why share them in a bar somewhere? Why share them on a Facebook post? Why share them in some sort of group meeting that's not Christian? Share those feelings and emotions with people who love the same Lord you do, who have the same desires you do. And then number six, and this is my favorite of all, when we take our responsibility of Galatians 6 and verse 2 and share what's going on in our life with other people who can bear our burdens, the text says we fulfill the law of Christ. Well, what is that about? How do we fulfill the law of Christ? This is beautiful. He says, love God with your all and love your neighbor. And there's the law of Christ. The law of Christ is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself. And when we share what's going on in our life with other people, we allow them to love God more as we see God working through the problems people face. And we help us to love our neighbor as well. So when we bear each other's burdens, we are fulfilling the law of Christ. We're picking up what they're carrying. We're saying, I'll help you carry this issue. I'll help you carry this problem. Number seven, seek advice from before making major decisions. I'd say seek wise advice. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 says that plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. I don't know what kind of mental challenges you're dealing with right now. I don't know what kind of emotional issues are going on in your life. But there are people around that can give you wisdom. The fact is, when I'm under great amounts of stress, I do not always think very clearly. And the wisest people, if you want to share your problem with a wise person, share it with someone who knows and loves God's Word. The wisest people will speak God's words into our stress. And when we are at our wisest, we will allow God's Word to be spoken into our stress, and we will thereby be able to grow. I love James chapter 1, verse 21, where it says that we are to receive with meekness the engrafted Word. Watch what he says. Humbly welcome the message implanted within you. We're to say to the Word of God in the midst of our stress, God, I welcome your wisdom into my life. God, I welcome your wisdom into my stress. God, I want you to be a part of my stress. Welcome your word into my life. Welcome advice that comes from godly people into your life. And be happy that you have godly people in your life. When you allow a wise person to speak into your stress, you're blessed, but in the process, you also allow them to be blessed as they are allowed to use their gifts in service to you. Number eight, we're going to move through these last three fairly quickly. Schedule renewal breaks throughout your day. Schedule renewal breaks throughout your day. I don't know all about this, but neuroscience says that we don't need to take a long time to recharge. We need multiple breaks throughout the day, emotional, physical, and spiritual. We need multiple breaks throughout the day. And one guy I heard say, you ought to relax daily, you ought to rewind weekly, and you ought to recreate annually. Now you think about that. Relax daily. Every day in your life, spend some time with God in prayer, talking to Him, and in His Word, letting it talk to you. It will relax you more than anything else. It relaxes you more than an app on your phone, more than a quiet room in your house. The Word of God and time talking to God. And then you do your rewind weekly. And this is my place to rewind. It should be yours as well. Where I come and I recenter my life. I come and I say, what I'm all about. What is most important in my life. And it reminds me of that. And then annually, take some time, whether it's a vacation or time away for a little while, just time away where you can completely recreate. We got to rest in our lives. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30 and 31 says, it's difficult to see on the screen, I didn't realize it would, but listen to the verse. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Everybody gets tired. So we need to rest. We need to relax. And we got to determine our life, what it is that renews us and recharges us. The truth is, I don't think God was tired after the creation. I don't think He was tired. I don't think God said, man, that was exhausting. I need to take a vacation. I do think God knew that His people would get tired. And so God, as He always does, He set an example for us of what we are supposed to do. And that example is He rested. And that day of rest in the Old Testament did some amazing things. That Sabbath day did some amazing things. Two at least. We could talk about a lot, but there's two I want to highlight right now. One, it allowed them time away from the daily routine. It's rest, away from what's going on in your life over and over again. It's physical rest, emotional rest. We need different kinds of rest, but that's the first thing. The second thing it did, it was a day of worship. And on that day of worship, they spent time worshiping God. Now, I believe we worship God every day in our lives as Christians, but I think Sundays are so vital. Now, some of you may not like it when I say this. Some of you are going to be confused when I say this. I don't believe it's a sin to cut your yard on a Sunday. How many of you grew up and it was this thought, and people in your life thought it was a sin to cut your yard on a Sunday? Eight of us, okay? I was cutting my yard one Sunday. I had somebody drive by and saw me, and they fussed at me the next week. I thought, wow, that's a thing. And it scares me to death for our culture. If there is no quiet time to rest, if there's no time away to reflect on the God of heaven, the psalmist said it this way, "Be still and know that I am God." In the harried activity of life, we will never be still enough to realize who the God of heaven is. And I'm not attacking extracurricular activities. Know that. I'm not at all. I'll attack that later, okay? Not attacking that now. But if your Sundays are go-to and get-to and move-to and this and that and this and that, and you never have any time that's still and apart and away, oh my. It's going to be hard for you to know that God is God. A weekly time, you refocus, you rest. You don't have 17 T-ball games. You don't have 58 meetings. You don't have 7 Zoom meetings. You don't do all that. You focus on God. That'll help us in our lives. I'm concerned about a culture that goes around. And I believe that Satan is at the heart of it. that tries to pull away every moment that we could spend focusing on God. So that we can get so busy that we won't even think about Him anymore. Rest. That'll take stress out of your life. Joe, sorry I put you on the screen, but I couldn't do better than this. I thought I'd let you attack Netflix. I did it last week. This will be your week to do it. Binge watching Netflix or other streaming services is an emotionally and spiritually unhealthy habit, usually indicating boredom or an attempt to escape unwanted or uncomfortable thoughts or feelings. A healthy renewal break is intentional and purposeful. You say, I'm going to spend this time this way. And listen, you make it a scheduled thing. I'm going to schedule this. It's an appointment I have. And I'm not going to miss that appointment. It's a vital appointment. All right, we got to move on. Number nine, serve someone struggling more than you are. You want to have right mental health? You got to get outside of yourself sometimes. You got to serve someone that is struggling in their life. Because if you don't, the big problems of your life will always so dominate your thinking that you will never be able to get beyond them. They'll be all you think about. There needs to be time in your life where you're serving someone else and you get your thoughts off of your problems. I love the way Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25 says it. A generous person will prosper. Isn't that neat? A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. In other words, when you serve others, it's refreshing to you. Some of the things we do here. Our annual food drive at Thanksgiving. We get food to some people that are hungry, and I am so very thankful that we get to be part of that. But what is more meaningful to me than the fact we get to feed some people that are hungry is that a lot of times our families will take a group and they will go to family as a family and they will deliver that food to them. Some of the activities we do aren't designed just to get it done. We have this project we've got to get done. The project will get done. Some of it's designed so that you and your family can learn, especially those who have young children, so that you and your families will learn we got to serve someone other than ourselves. Listen, parents, in your children's lives, you need to intentionally find opportunities to get them away from just serving themselves. In a culture that's two generations beyond the me generation now, maybe three generations beyond it, we got to say, all right, what are we going to do? We're not just going to serve ourselves. We're going to serve others. So use your heartbreak and your struggles to bless other people. For your own mental and emotional health, get the attention off yourself and onto someone else's pain, to someone else's need, to someone else's hurt. Number 10, if you want to have right mental health, control what's controllable and trust God for the rest. For some of us here today, for some of you here today, you need to stop playing God because you're not Him. You're trying to control everything in your life. And sometimes the greatest control you have in your life is when you let go of control. And you say, God, this problem is too big. I've worried about it. I've fretted about it. I've cried about it. I've prayed about it. I've talked to people about it. I can't handle it. Will you please handle it? I challenge you on that. You will be amazed at what God can do if you will allow Him to. Stop trying to control every aspect of your life, to be in charge of everything that comes down the pike. It's unusual use of this verse from James chapter 2 and verse 22. You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. He's talking about Abraham here. But the same is true for us. It's a faith and works thing. That's so vital when we talk about this concept of what we control in our lives and what we don't control in our lives. So what we control is our work, what we do, regardless of what your work is, regardless of what you consider work. The things you do are work. The things God does is faith. That faith in your life, and you let go, and you allow Him to control those things. All right. I hope that's helpful to you in some way. If we can help you today, if you're watching online and you want to send us a prayer request, we'll pray for you. Let us know how public or private you want it to be. If you're listening today and you want to know more about the gospel and you want to know more about the Lord's church and His people, just send us a message. We'll be happy to share that with you. Today, if you're in the building, you need somebody in this building to pray for you. You're struggling and you're struggling mightily and you're having a hard time with one of these areas, letting go, or one of the others we've talked about. Just pull a leader aside and say, listen, would you pray with me? We'll have elders over here at the side and they will be happy to pray with you if you have a need. It's our great desire here to serve and to do our very best to help each of us to grow closer in our relationship with God. So if we can help you today in any way, whether it's in that way or in your obedience to the gospel, it might be today you say, I'm ready to turn loose of everything and let God be the ruler of my life. I need to confess I believe Jesus is God's Son. And if Jesus is God's Son, He's big enough to handle any problem in my life. I need to confess that I believe that. And I need to be baptized, give my life to Him. And today, if we can help you, we hope that you'll let us know that. Will you come, Holy Spirit? I am